Hello everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Flat Out Podcast. Thank you guys for joining, and as always, this is gonna be one for the moon, because unlike the others that we've had, we've got someone who's into media, we've got someone who loves photography and is also a big fan of the Hoop basketball system, and he plays basketball as well. A while back, he actually shot for the Owerri Classic, the basketball classic in the East, and he's one of the guys that have been telling me that Eastern basketballers are the best in Nigeria, so it's time to defend that claim. Pastor Edward, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing, my man?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. And thank you for having me.
You know, we should have worked on a few projects together. It's just, I don't know. Well, I think the time will come, Sha.
Yes.
Yeah, because, so how's it going back home, man? How's everything in Nigeria?
Because Nigeria is just Nigeria, man. Like, everybody's going through it in one way or another. But in spite of it, we're figuring it out. You know, we're just doing it. Yeah. We're moving in faith. You know, we're just doing. And you know, hopefully it will come out well for us. You know, that's what we pray, believe. And, you know, we leave it up to the universe.
Yeah.
The universe works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, everything aligns at one point. So.
Everything does align. It does align. Yeah, that's very true. Thank you for having me, man. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, the pleasure is all ours over here. Before we get into the basketball talk, let's talk about you and what you do, man. Yeah, you're one of those guys that I've really looked up to when it comes to photography. I'm not a photographer, or, you know, I just got into this media space in the fact that I love basketball, and I try to push everything that relates to basketball, you know. So how was the journey coming up as being one of those guys that picked up media photography early on?
Man, okay, so for me, photography really is something that I have been doing, like, in one way or another, I have been doing it my whole life. But it got serious when I got a camera. And for me, photography at its core, the definition of photography I love is definition that says photography is the art of writing with light. So you just go out there and you write stories. Yeah. So to me, that is how I approach the craft of it, the photography craft. So it is at its core for me about people, not about myself. It's about me putting the people that I'm photographing in the best light possible so I can write their story properly. And it's a very, very, it's a career that you have to do more with your eyes than with your camera. It's about you looking, seeing what is going on, and being able to capture that which is going on around you. So that is photography to me, and that's how I approach it. And we've been fortunate, you know, since I bought that camera, I've not looked back. I have just been moving forward, and I've met a lot of very awesome people that I've learned so much from. And okay. I just keep meeting people. So for me, that's photography for me. I've just been, you know, chasing the craft and really, really loving what it is that I do. And, you know, I am here. This is where I am. That's why I'm on your show now, because of the photography. Yeah, so.
Yeah, you are going to come on the show one way or the other. We are going to do a project together. You know, we had talked about it, I think that was last year. We're doing something together. So, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I believe that basketball is such a sport that we can keep talking about it, and we will be able to create amazing things when we talk about it, because it's a beautiful game. And we love that game, so we can keep talking about it. Okay, yeah, there's no end to the talking. So yeah, we would always do. Let's work on something. Definitely.
For sure. How long have you been in the media space? Like, when I talk about media space, I'm talking related to basketball. Now, how long have you been taking and taking pictures of the sport itself? And, you know, I remember you saying that you have always wanted to be a part of the, like, taking a basketball scene and taking pictures of basketballers and all that. And I remember there was a time you actually did that on the low scale, where you did it with the guys around your basketball court. You took a lot of pictures and you posted on Twitter. I was like, okay, this guy is really legit. This guy is about that life. So when did you like pick it up and say, okay, I'm gonna take basketball pictures and, you know, share this goodness with the world?
Okay, so for me, I did not really get into basketball. Like, I've been playing basketball, just been playing. I played some in secondary school, I've been playing. But I did not really get into it until I got to university.
Okay.
And I got into it that way because my friends, we had like a circle, and in that circle, we were friends, and we just kept playing ball, we kept playing ball and being friends, playing video games. We did everything together, me and that circle of friends. So I fell in love with the game in another level that awoken something in me. Like, I love this game. I found out that I actually love the game. I love the science behind the game. And we watch basketball and we talk basketball, and it just put that fire in me. So when I came back home, like in Nigeria here, when I came back home, I when I got the camera, I was still around the game. As a matter of fact, when I was a copper in Ibadan,
yeah.
I went to and found in Ibadan. When I was a copper in Ibadan, I was serving with the Ministry of Information at the time. So there was a secondary school around my house that had a basketball court, and I went there. I went to meet the principal. I told her I'd like to teach the game. The woman told me, yeah, sure. And I came, my students came, they signed up for the game, and everybody was anxious to play the game. And I was saying, yeah, I actually did that. And I always want to be around the game one way or another. So shooting basketball, when I started photographing, it was natural because I loved shooting. I love taking pictures and I love basketball. So I just been shooting basketball, and I've just been shooting it. I shot basketball for a company called Baller Ground, Playground, something like that. Playground. There was
Playground
this the app. Playground, PG Raters. PG Raters. I had created some content for them, and I just like just always wanted to be in the game. So I have been looking for an opportunity. Like, you know this thing they say about fate. Like, once you are doing something you love, just keep moving towards it.
Yeah.
You will find it. And this was just fate. Like, I just saw that tweet. You tweeted it, and I just said, I would love to shoot this. And that was it. You just told me, talk to so and so person. And I spoke to so and so person. And man, if I know what was happening, I was in the state shooting basketball. So.
I know.
That was amazing. Yeah, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. So just leave that aside. But yeah, we're still talking about photography and basketball. So yeah, it's natural. It just comes naturally. And for me, I do it with the added edge of knowing the game.
Yeah.
I do it from that dynamic to knowing the game, knowing what pressure moments are. When I'm shooting, I'm watching. Like, I'm looking at what is going on. Seeing it. And I'm seeing the game. Sometimes I get too into the game. I put my camera down. Like, I just put my camera down and enjoy the game. Like, I do that a lot. And I do that a lot. And so I really love the game. You see, just like people, those of us that play the game, when people are in there, you know what they are trying to do.
Yeah.
And then you see how well they are doing what they are trying to do. Are they getting to their spots? Are they taking advantage? You know, that obvious, it's just something you just be seeing. You can't help it. You just be seeing it because you love the game. Yeah. So that's how it came to be. And we are here. We are here.
Speaking on the love for the game, bro, one of the main reasons why I picked up media is, like, I saw what we lacked back home. Players not having a platform where they can speak and talk about their own stuff. And it, like I said, not just ground-based on basketball, but, you know, basketball has done so much for us that everything relates to it. You know, we walk out tomorrow, we go somewhere to have lunch, you are talking to someone, and before you know it, something leads to something. And you talk about LeBron James, you talk about MJ, you talk about this, and it's all interconnected. Fashion, like media, everything just weaves into each other. And I'm like, since this thing is life, let us just get this platform up. And it's great to see that other people are actually catching on and doing the same with whatever they want in life. It's a wonderful thing, man. It's a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing.
Moving forward, still on photography, you've done a few shots with like some, I don't know, celebs. You've taken a few shots of them, celebs. You worked with Jemisin. I think you worked on Papa Benji, the episode one time. And a lot of other top-level jobs like that. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. Which one has actually been your best that you say, okay, let me beat my chest that I really loved how this shot came out. I loved the experience around it. I loved everything that I had to go into creating this. Yes, I said I was going to put you on the spot.
This is a very tricky question, bro.
I said I'll go put you for a spot.
Okay, see, I'm going to give a political answer. I'll give it.
Hey, let me tell you straight up. We don't go for politically correct answers here. You have to tell us the truth.
No, the political answer is that it's correct. It's just with, you know, some. But it's still correct, Shao. But you put a little bit.
Okay, no problem. We are listening.
No. Here's the truth. Well, for me, this question, what I translated to is that you're asking me what images have I really connected with.
Yeah.
Like, which image when I created, I really connected with. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's a basketball image. It's basketball. It's basketball related. The image is basketball related. The image is of Dalu. I don't know. You know Dalu now.
Yeah, Dalu. Yeah.
Dalu.
Shout out to Dalu, my guy.
Shout out to Dalu, my G. Shout out to Dalu. When Dalu was in Nigeria, I experienced him. You know, the player. I experienced him.
Yeah.
And I will not lie to you, the images we created, bruh, till today, they are still some of my favorite images that I have created anywhere. Like, the ones I took of Dalu. Yeah. Man. Every time I open that image, I'm like, I did something. That one. And it's me, like, it's me that loves the image this much. It's not, I don't know if the whole world will perceive it as that, but it's me, like me, I love that image because that image is such a powerful image. I was not just shooting a basketball, I was telling the story of a basketball player.
Yeah.
I was telling the story of a ball player. And if you see the images showed the ball player. And I those images are just I think I'll, because of this, I'll go and re-upload those images. I'll upload them.
And it's funny how interconnected that things are. Like, Dalu is also into photography and into media.
Yeah, and he is too.
And I think it was last month or a few months earlier in his college in the US, he had his own little exhibition, which actually
I saw that
is an inspiration to all of us.
He's
one of those guys that you look up and say, yeah, this guy don't, you know, suffer for Nigeria. He struggled, like, he built himself to where he is right now, like. And he started at a very, very young age. So it's remarkable to see what he has been able to achieve.
Man, the guy's story is amazing. I say, bro, the whole time I was just listening to this young man. Do you know that? Let me tell you something. When we were in the cab, we had just shot some images and we were going to the stadium. He said he wanted to walk out in the stadium.
Yeah.
And personally, I wanted to get a feel for him playing the game too. So in the cab going to the stadium, his coach called. His coach in Yankee, the one in Panola University, his coach called while he was in the car, while we were in the car.
Yeah.
So he picked the phone, the coach was asking him questions, and he was talking to the coach, he's like, yeah, I'm just walking, I'm just coming from a photo shoot, and I'm going to walk out now. And he was just talking to the coach, and I was like, this boy is really about that life. About that life. He's not telling the man, I'm going to walk out like a joke. No, we were actually going to play ball. Yeah. And he was actually going to, he was. And he walked out, and I took more pictures of him because that's what I was doing that day. I just took images of him, and that boy is, he has great, he was telling me, boy, I can't wait. I was like, patience, calm down, like, stay in the moment, relax, all those things will come, you're putting in your work. There's no substitute for the work, you're putting it into.
That's the thing, man. No substitute for the work. As long as the work is there, everything will fall in place.
As long as you're doing the work, everything will come into it, will align. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, I think I mentioned you taking some shots for Papa Benji, the YouTube series.
Yes. I did take a picture of that. Yeah. I shot some behind the scenes work for them. Yeah, that was actually a very, very surreal thing too. Like, having to do that was amazing.
Yeah,
it was amazing.
One reason why I even brought it up was we all know how connected Sound Sultan was to the basketball community.
Yeah.
Him being on that play, and he's also like Dalu's father in the basketball scene.
They were
really close, and I used to have a relationship with him as well, dating back to like 2012. I think that was the first time I met him officially, 2012 and 2011. I can't even remember. But he was, like I said, very connected with the basketball community. During those shoots, was there any time like you had a moment with him, even just on the camera, and seeing what he was about, the kind of person, the kind of amazing being he was in those shoots?
Okay, so the times that I shot on the set, I never met the late great Sound Sultan I never met him on the set. I did, however, shoot him at the premiere of the Papa Benji show.
Okay.
And meeting him, when I saw him, I knew who he was. Like, you know, we all sang those songs growing up. We grew up on those.
Yeah.
Those were our anthems. Yeah, he, like, for me, I was having like a celebrity moment. I was having, oh my god, this is this guy. I've never seen him before. It's the first time I'm seeing him. I was close to him. You know, I was freaking out, and I had to keep my poise that day and sort of, you know, do my job, take pictures. So I took a lot of images that day, and I never really got to have like a personal one-on-one, like try to have a word with him or something. Like, I didn't have the time to do that. And then when the news came of his death, which, shout out by the way, Nigeria beat USA that day. Amen. It's forever in the record books. We beat them.
Yeah.
This house of town went to the sky and was watching over them. We beat them. Whether we'll beat them again, we don't know, but we shall beat them. So when I heard that he died, I went back and I went to look for some images of him. I went back to that photo set. Thankfully, I still had it. I went back to it and I went to look for it and I found it. And I was like, yeah. And then when I saw the images, I was like, yeah, this is the guy. Because, like, I'll go and look for those images and put them out too. Because, like, anyway, yeah, that's Sound Sultan, man. Amazing guy. Yeah. Lived a full life and he left in the very end.
Yeah, his memory will definitely live with all of us.
Forever, man. Forever.
So rest in perfect peace.
Amen.
Yeah. Now let's get to this bone of contention. You said,
yes.
You said, and I quote, I asked the question, what region in Niger has the best bowlers? And you said it. Not only you, Kelechi Anuna, my big bro. He said,
yes,
it.
Shout out to Kelechi. Shout out to Kelechi. Big shout out to Kelechi Anuna.
East. I say, hey. Problem. And
see, bro, I stand behind that statement. I said what I said.
Hold on. Funny thing was, during that episode I had with the founder of Baller Zone, who is one of the platforms, media platforms in Nigeria, we sparingly mentioned the East. It was always about the West, Southwest, and the Northern guys. Okay. But when you guys came out and said the East, I was like, okay, let me look at it. I've actually met a few Eastern ball players that I looked at. Okay, this guy's savvy. He's just in a system where you don't get so much opportunity to showcase your talent. And that was one thing the East have really lacked, that they don't have so many tourneys coming up. Most of the guys that are in the East, they've got to travel to another state to partake in tournaments and all that stuff. But now you guys came out and said, forget. Oh, yeah, let me clear Kumo. The East has got the best players in Nigeria. Oh, yeah. Table
the
your
East
matter.
Have got the best players.
Table your matter.
See. You see, come on. This thing I went to shoot in the East.
Yeah.
I was blown away. Like, they blew me off my socks, bro. They blew me. I was blown away. It was huge. And it was not huge because because of on the basketball court. It was huge because we got games that got people on the edge of their seats. Like, people that I did not even know people turn out that money for basketball, bro. The whole court was filled everywhere, people. And everybody was like, oh my God, there was tension in the air. The refs were, everybody smelled the tension. That, to me, shows the quality of the players on the court. And it wasn't just boys. No, normally we'll be saying this is about just boys, you know, boys.
Yeah.
Because they're out there dunking. They're doing all the things that every other boy, every other place is doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it's the girls too. Those girls are about that life for real. They will come at you, bro. They will come at you. I saw these girls play, bro. I saw them play. And you know, anyway, we'll talk about the competition, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
the reason why I say the East has the best basketball players in the country is simply because they are developing the game, not just on boys. They're developing it on girls too. And the girls are playing. They're on the big stage too. They're doing it. And they're not just doing it. They're doing it because they have the support of everybody. Kelechi Anusike and his crew, they are doing an amazing job giving these people a competition, something to cooperate. Because it's not just, this competition was not just once, it was not just the most state. People from Bayelsa, people from Enugu,
yeah,
people from everywhere, they brought everybody down, put them under one roof, they played ball, and winner came out. Bro, it was amazing. I was blown away. And people can say, yeah, maybe I'm just saying this one. I saw it in both boys and girls. They played on the same court. It was not boy, girls played their own girls. No.
Mm-hmm.
Boys and girls on the team of five, four boys, one girl. They even gave them a mismatch because the girls, their points are worth double. If you send a girl to the free throw line, she makes 4 points. Two free throws, 4 points.
Yeah.
If she hits a three, she hits a six. So that is the matchup right there that people need to exploit. And ultimately, the team that won exploited that matchup. Their girl was a beast. Bro, I saw this girl driving down the lane, and I saw her eyes. She saw somebody on the line there. She saw him in there, and she knew this person would hit me, and she drove in there. And he hit her, and she went to the line. I was like, my God. She knew exactly what she did. She set that boy up, and he hit her, went to the line. She knew she was not going to score. She just went in there. That girl is a warrior. And there was another girl, too, that controlled the game. Like, she was literally Chris Paul out there. When she went to the bench, her team was suffering. She was their point guard, a girl on team of boys. She was setting them pick and roll, dropping the dime, kicking it to the corner. The girl was doing all, she's making shots too. I was like, oh my God. They are growing the game on a fundamental level on the boys' side and on the girls' side. Kenechi Anuna, Kelechi Anusike in Imo State, all of them, they are doing an amazing job there. Even Mr. Chidozie from in all of them, they put together a hell of a competition, and that is the East, yeah, bro. Leave it for them. Nobody else is doing that.
I think the only thing that will settle this issue now is if we have to pick the best from each region now.
Let everybody go and play competition. Then
that
we'll
is, that's what we'll do. I have to talk to you and say, okay, guy, let us do this thing. Let us set it up because we die on that elo.
Oh, but we say about die on that elo. They're best player. That's the best player.
But yeah, for real, big ups
the boys,
to
girls.
Big ups to them guys, Kelechi Anuna, Mr. Ugo Deze, the founder of Alpha Sports, and every other person that chips in, the international players, to host that tournament at the Wayu. Now, let's get into your tournament itself. Like we said, there are not so many tournaments that happen in the East. I remember one of the former players for Nigerian Customs, Obunaya, he came down from the US and he hosted a camp before the Owerri tournament. Then after that, the Owerri tournament came. And even before then, Kelechi Anuna had already renovated the court
that
he played on. So we see all these little bits and pieces coming in, and now that Ugodeze is the representative for the MBBF in the East, it makes a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. The kind of power that's going into there and the things they're trying to do. Now, the tournament itself, give me the juices mm-hmm. and everything, because I did not witness it, so I can only get mm-hmm. from you guys that actually saw it there.
Yeah. Okay, so this tournament, all right, let me give you from my own point perspective as a photographer. You know, as a photographer, I'm there to document.
Yeah.
And that is how I approach work. I'm there to document. So I like to find those moments that, and I document. So a lot of it is watching, looking out for those moments. So most times I am a fly on the wall. I just stand and I'm listening, and everybody's talking and I'm listening. I'm trying to find where everything is going. And there was some challenges, you know, like with everything, when you want to do something good, you know, the devil come and wind you small.
Definitely.
And they stuck, they put their feet on the ground, and they found a way to come through. And that was the number one blew away. The second blew away was, you know, they sent me, like, I shoot everything. Yeah. Like, for me, like, I'm pure to the craft. I know how to approach different types of things. Yeah. As me. And when they called me to go and shoot that thing, I honestly didn't think. I was like, yes, I've been waiting for this. This is me. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I went there and I created such an amazing... They even had a dunk contest, come on. There was a dunk contest. These kids were flying in the air. Dog. There was... Okay, let me tell you about another tense moment. They did a free throw contest for girls. And then the first girl that came knocked one free throw down, missed the second one. She left. The second girl that came made 11 in a row.
Oh, wow.
11. So that's the second girl. Everybody thought, all right, this girl has won. And then myself, I said, it's not possible. Nobody will beat her. And then here comes this girl that I have been seeing from day one. I've been seeing the girl. I saw her play small. Girl, she's a little scrawny, lanky girl. So, like, and she wears glasses, like this, like Horace Grant. Mm-hmm. She wears glasses. And I'm like, this girl. Who is this girl? And then this girl stepped up to the free throw line, bro, and she made 12 in a row. Dog, everybody was screaming. Everybody was screaming. This girl just snipped this ball, took her time. Bucket. Go again. I was like, oh my god, what am I still going to look at right now? And it was amazing. And you know, like in the gym, sometimes when you're by yourself, when you're shooting free throws, sometimes you will get those streaks. Like you as an individual, you get those streaks where you're just listening, everything. But this was under pressure, because somebody to win the competition had made 11 in a row. There's pressure now to make. And this girl just stepped up calmly, made 11, and knocked that girl out and won the competition. I even did like a small video interview for her. Like, the girl is, she watch out for that girl too. I can't remember her name, but I took photographs of her. I know that. I'll find them, I'll put them out. It was another player that stood out to me. A lot of different players stood out, bro. Like, okay, let me even tell you about this one. So in the semi-final of the competition, it was against two teams. On the two teams, the leaders of the both teams, I'm not saying the leaders, the person with the... he's the leader. He's the one coordinating their offense, coordinating their defense. So the leaders on the both teams, they were the two best players, and they've been friends since when they were small. They have been friends since when they were small. They know each other. They've been competing against each other. And then they met in this competition. So they were on both different teams. And bro, they had a battle. Dog. There was a time when they were down, the team who lost, they were down by 20 points. And then they went to halftime, and then this guy came back on the court. I think towards the end of the second quarter, came back on the court, was just doing it small. They broke it down to 10. Then he came back again. They came back, they were tied. And now that team kept pulling up. They have like a 4-point lead, they'll make one bucket. To get like a 5-point lead, they'll make two buckets. They were just clawing, they were in the game. And then when it came crunch time, when the game slowed down, bruh. Dog, like it was a nail biter. And what ultimately killed them for them to lose that game was simply because when they took a timeout and when they came back on the court, the point guard, the leader of that team, he thought they were going to inbound the ball on the other side, but the refs told him he had to move. The girl had to move to the other side of the table to inbound the ball. So they got the ball and then they got the turnover. They had to foul. They had to foul. So the leader of the team, he was already crying. Like, they have lost the game. He was crying already on the court. He was crying that he had lost. And when I saw him crying, I knew that they were going to lose that game because you're the leader of the team. Yeah, once the general breaks down, everybody else breaks down. Yes. And ultimately, when they lose other one shot free throws, they took another timeout, came back up the court to run a play to a girl to shoot a three because they were down four. Yeah. If a girl shoots a three, she takes 6 points. So they ran a play for the girl. Yeah, you see how the girl thing is entering this thing, bro. Yeah. So those girls have to come with their game. And that's his girl. She played ball. The girl was hooping. She was out there hooping. So they ran a play for her to shoot the three-pointer. So they set the screen, got her open. As she came around the corner, the defense came. So she waited. And when the defense went up, after the defense was coming down, she went back. She went up and she chucked it too high. The team hit the backboard, didn't bank in. And that was the end of the game. Only somebody that loves basketball remember every play like this. Only somebody that really loves remember the plays like this. But I remember because that game stood out. And after that game, everybody felt like, oh yeah, this was the finals before the finals. This was the game. That was the game. And then I'll find those images. Those images are there. I'll find them. Yeah, at least after the game, when they just two of them together when they were shaking each other after the game and all that. Anyway, those images are there. That competition was it for me. Documenting this competition was seeing the competition for what it truly is, and what it is giving kids an opportunity to compete. Just compete. And once you can compete, you keep improving. Compete, you improve. You compete, you improve. You will see the possibility. There's a lot of possibilities. You just compete. And that's what Mr. Kelechi, and shout out, big shout out to Mr. Kelechi, Anuna, big shout out to Mr. Kelechi, Anusika. Yeah, big shout out to those guys. Yeah. Kelechi Anusika, by the way, was a hooper too. Like, he played professionally. When I saw him, bro, this guy is like 6'8", 6'9". I was like, if this guy puts me in the post, man, this guy will pound me all day. Like, if he did, that was the first thing I thought. I saw him, I was like, oh yeah, he's big. He's very big. And throughout this whole competition, the man did not touch a ball. He was so busy trying to make the whole thing happen. The man did not pick up a ball once to say, oh yeah, let me get this shot off real quick. Everybody else did. Me, I did. All the other sponsors, everybody did. He didn't pick up a ball once. He was just trying to make sure everything that needed to happen was happening. And
that's the message we're trying to push, especially down to those guys in charge in Nigeria. Even if you are not in charge, like, if you have the capacity to do something and you love basketball, just a little effort, push it forward and give guys the platform to make things work. Once you are able to do that, the stories that we will tell after all this while, like, just like you said right now, see how amazing it is. A lot of people are going to listen to this and be inspired as well. So I hope it continues. I hope it continues.
Yeah, we hope it continues. They should make sure it continues. They have managed to catch a bottle in it, and a bottle, they have catched a gem in a bottle. They have gold in a bottle, and they should nurture it. Because this competition they have, it puts girls on the map. The girls are actually on the court, hooping. And those teams that are able to exploit that matchup would win. So it would put, like, the girls too, give them competition too. Big competition. They're playing boys. Yeah, they'll block your shot. Yeah, they're not playing with you. And I saw a lot of girls play good defense. They were stripping boys, blocking boys. They were doing it all. Everything. We watched it. It was amazing. It was amazing.
That's dope, yeah. On a closing note, I know you have some projects you are working on. And I'd like you to give us like a little snippet on what's going on. What should we expect from this guy that loves basketball this way and he has a camera at that he can wave around at any time he wants.
Man, I'm trying to, in the spirit of documenting more basketball, I'm trying to start a new competition, just a small competition. Yeah. It's like a one-on-one competition. So what I want to do is I want to video one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And this one-on-one will have specific rules. There's specific rules to this one-on-one. The rules is you are in the block, in the low block, and you have only two dribbles.
Hey, don't give all the rules out. Don't give it out now. Let these things come
into should I give it out? Okay.
Don't give it out.
So it's like you want to walk t-shirt, I'm going to be videoing it, and I'm just trying to like create some basketball content, and you know.
Yeah.
It's just something new that would, you know, that nobody else is doing, and just, you know, hope to catch, like I said, catch fire in the bottle.
That's But for real, we've got a few things that we're gonna link up on, because like I said, I've said this a while ago, like we're trying to expand on the show and trying to put some more, add a little more branch to what we have done already. So as time goes on, we'll definitely be reaching out and we'll be putting all these things together.
Amen, yeah. Amen, 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 amen. I'm with you, bro. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
But yeah, thanks for coming right on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Before I go, please. I want to two things before I go. First of all, I'd like to say a big shout out to Bola Zoo, because I have met him before. I've seen his face before. I'm one of the few people that have actually met him and seen his face. Yeah, he knows. When he sees me, I ask him, tell him I know him. But he's my guy. He's an amazing guy.
Edward.
Amazing guy.
Yeah. There's a bounty on these guys. If they catch you, no be me. You know, say me, I know they Niger like this. They know if you can't catch me. But if they catch you,
No. The guy in OG. He's doing an amazing stuff on that platform. Amazing.
For real.
Like every time I see him complain on WhatsApp that his WhatsApp is crashing, I used to laugh. I said, his WhatsApp is crashing. Everybody sent him a message. I used to laugh. It's amazing guy. I've met him before. The second thing I wanted to say was, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yes, sir.
Who is winning the chip this year? Who is winning the NBA chip this year?
Honestly, I can't tell you who is winning, but I'll tell you why I see making the finals.
Who do you see making the finals?
Whoever wins the Milwaukee Bucks Boston Celtics series, I think they are going to make the finals. And I am rooting for Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee has that chip on their shoulder to try to do it two times in a row. I know Boston has been incredible and their defense has been suffocating, but you know, there's just this thing about ballers, when you have an itch that these guys are going to win. It might not happen, but when you have someone like Giannis on the court who is able to will not just himself but
will to win.
To, yeah,
he will it to
every other person just has to step up around him and they'll be fine. Then,
and Middleton is not even back yet.
Exactly, Middleton isn't back yet. I said something on the space that I was on yesterday, I think it was by Baz Bizzle on Twitter. Like, the reason why it is so difficult at the moment is because Middleton is not on the court. I know he's not going to make a very huge difference, but a 20-point game from Middleton changes a lot of things in the dynamics. Every other person around becomes... They become lighter because now they don't need to think about...
Yeah, somebody else scored 20 points.
Exactly. And now Giannis has a little off his back. He just has to create more, make the right plays and all that. So, yeah.
Giannis is right now, man. He's just...
Yeah, he is open. But Boston is hell to deal with. He's going to go down to 7, and that 7 game is going to be a must watch. Anything can happen.
If it comes down to 7, Boston away.
We'll see.
If it comes down to 7, Boston away. Anyway, Shab, but generally, I like it. I personally feel like it's going to be Suns, and so far they stay healthy. It's going to be Suns and Milwaukee.
Now, that's Suns. The Suns Warriors matchup is going to be one to look forward to.
What Warriors? You know, I completely forgot about those guys just now.
Honestly,
I completely forgot about them just now. Those people, they know how to win.
They know how to win. That's one thing. They know how to win. with the Warriors, my own fear is if they are going to be facing, definitely they'll be facing Suns in the finals, in the Western Conference Finals. How do they try to balance out when they go small? Yes, we know they are wonderful when it comes to the offensive end. That like they will always get those shots. They will get their looks. Now on the defensive end, how much can they manage a team like Suns who have size, length over them? And I'm talking these guys can actually win as well. You have Chris Paul, you have Devin Booker, you have Cam Johnson, you have Jay Crowder. They can actually make things
happen. They got to the finals.
Exactly. So they are also well rooted. And another issue that I have at the back of my mind, I do not think that the Warriors are as deep as they were in their previous runs to the championship. Like,
they're not as deep. With experience, they're not as deep. That time they had Sean Livingston coming off the bench. They had this Brazilian guy, what's his name again?
Barbosa.
They had Barbosa off the bench. They had Iggy off the bench. Their bench was solid.
Exactly. Solid. The guys that had
they had wing players to go. And then they've always had one big who is dependable. And when they have that big that is dependable, their defense is solid because they would have minutes with bigs too, and they will pound with that, and then they will switch to their spot, and that's what makes them dangerous. But I feel like what the Warriors need to figure out is how to get Draymond in check, because if Draymond has that kind of calamity they had in 2016, he has that kind of calamity where he will go get ejected for some dumb stuff, and then come in the finals when you need to be on the court, they let LeBron beat you into getting thrown off the court, and then the whole series just changed.
See,
they need to watch Draymond. Draymond needs to come correct. Let's be honest.
Draymond will be Draymond. He's going to get the technique. He's going to get it. There's nothing you can do.
He's Draymond. Draymond. And you come for the podcast.
The only thing they can do is pray. There's no amount of talk or anything like that. The only thing they can do is pray that, okay, he doesn't get that bad and get suspended.
Yeah. But it is interesting. I hope we can talk more NBA stuff. Just little on the side, we just talk more NBA stuff because this is refreshing to have a conversation.
It is refreshing.
Really refreshing.
Don't worry. With the plans that we have coming up for the show, honestly, I'm going to put it out there. We're trying to get to NBA T on T level. It may not be on that level, but. That is the dream for the show. Getting to that level. So
yeah,
we'll definitely get there, by God's grace.
definitely. Like even as far as like basketball with photography, there are some teams in the NBA that have amazing photographers, and I follow those photographers.
Yeah.
And those photographers put out images that are, you know, like you've seen it and you're like, oh my God, what am I looking at? Like this Philadelphia 76ers, they have this guy Asobas, I think that's his name, on Instagram. The guy is every time this guy posts an image, I'm like, oh my God. And you can feel the tension, the heat, the excitement in these images. You can taste it. I hope to get to that level at some point. If basketball is where, you know, this whole thing is for me, that's where the bread will come. Boy, if I stick to it, I'm going to create amazing stuff. And I hope we can do that kind of work. The kind of work that would bring the game out. People will be seeing the game for the game, and they'll be amazed, you know. And
that's the
dream, Sean.
In due time. Thanks again, man. I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Thank you, Kumo, man. Thank you. I really do appreciate it, man.
All right, sirs. Till next time, people. Cheers, check out this guy on Twitter, on IG. You see, the image itself will blow your mind away. Please give them your Twitter and IG accounts. I beg.
My Twitter and IG is the same thing. Maester Edward. Maester Edward. Maester Edward. Wonderful. Yeah, so like you can just Yeah, it's the same thing on Twitter and on IG. So just follow me. Yeah, let's connect. Let's collaborate. Let's do things. Let's do amazing things. Yeah.
Wonderful content, basketball wise, photography, everything. Even just regular gist. This guy is the guy.
Oh, well, we need hustle, man. We need hustle.
All right, man. Stay solid. Stay safe. Till next time, people. Flat out.